Bonjour and welcome to ASI's Tuesday morning show.
Somebody's back from Europe.
Oh my God.
We're ASI's
and we're happy to have her.
Most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. And yes, I am fresh off the, I guess, the plane.
Fresh off the boat.
From France and England, where we were conducting ASI's ad impression study.
How'd that go?
Some of you guys have been involved in that. It was fantastic. What we do, you know, it's a study that we do every 2 years. We ask people all over every region in America, plus several other countries, about their opinions on promotional products, what they have on their person, what they have at home. Can they remember the advertiser on the products that they have? Are they more likely to do business with those people? And all kinds of great questions. And we turn that into a huge, fabulous survey, which we're going to announce the results at the Power Summit in November. And there's lots of great data in there that distributors and suppliers can use to prove the value of promotional products.
What are the people of France like?
Can I tell you this? Let me tell you
this.
Okay,
you're going to tell us anyway.
The French have, you know, a reputation of being not so friendly, right? Mm-hmm. I know Michelle knows otherwise because she's been to Paris many times, but I will tell you that I conducted these surveys in LA myself and in London and in Paris, and the French were by far the most receptive in answering the surveys. And a lot of times they barely, you know, they worked with me, they barely spoke English, and they were, crazy friendly. That's what I would say.
Crazy friendly.
Crazy friendly, yes.
She bought three homes.
Lots of friends. I made lots of friends in France. So that's a huge myth, at least in Paris, I found. French to be very friendly and very enthusiastic about ad specialties.
What was the craziest promo product that somebody had on them that you were interviewing?
Craziest? I don't know. But I will say that matchbooks are very popular still.
Oh, I love matchbooks.
People are, you know, smoking everywhere.
They love to smoke in France.
They do. They're more smokers there, I think.
Yeah, so we got lots of that. And USB drives were very popular. So.
So that's the story. Matchbooks and USB drives.
Yeah, the other thing which is interesting, which I didn't hear as much as some of the other cities, is they mentioned design a lot, especially with bags, that they'll only keep a bag, you know, if it's very well designed. And they specifically, without prompting, would say that, which, you know, you didn't hear a lot in the U.S. So,
right.
Which makes sense. The French are very stylish, aren't they, Michelle?
Yes, they are.
All right. Well, let's introduce our cast of characters here this morning. Kathy Houston. Everyone's favorite magazine editor is
Kathy,
here.
And in case you don't know, Kathy's become a person of very few words on this show, so you might have to drag it out of her.
Kathy, you have some very exciting news with Advantages Magazine.
Yeah, I do.
See what I'm saying?
Really?
Would you like to share?
Oh, we're having a total redesign starting with the October issue, and it looks very fabulous.
It looks fantastic.
Yes.
Can't wait to see it. Mm-hmm. Andy Cohn, of course, is here. Andy, what's new with Counselor Magazine?
We're coming out with our annual Writing Instruments issue in October.
Ooh.
Very exciting for you.
I don't know. Does that rival Advantage's redesign?
I don't think
it tops it. It absolutely tops it.
Everyone's favorite managing editor's here. I know you guys talked about this on the show last week, but you are fresh back from the Democratic convention.
The DNC.
What was the coolest promotional product that you saw down there?
A Buffalo Ranch, you know, rancher from Oregon created these Obama head trailer hitch ball covers.
I saw pictures of those.
We actually have one in the studio here. And she was just giving them out for free on the sidewalk.
I like the political poopers.
They have political poopers?
Like a pooper stick.
I absolutely love those.
Yeah, it was
you wind it up. And it walks, then it poops out little candy treats.
It's kind of like the New Age Pez dispenser.
Was that at the Democratic or the Republican?
Both. We found that in a gift shop.
Okay.
But there was buttons galore, T-shirts, condoms. Andy's eyes perked up there. A song. You know that song, the Cupid Shuffle?
Yeah.
Well, some guy made the Obama Shuffle, and he was selling it, and he was dancing to it, and he was singing to it.
What, like a CD?
Like a CD, Kathy.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of products, a lot of people, a lot of security, a lot of media.
All right, I know we've been covering that in Counselor Promogram, and I imagine in the next issue of Counselor.
Why are you laughing, Andy?
You'll see more pictures of the products that are being used during the elections. Michelle Bell.
Yes.
I have to call attention to your hand because
oh my God.
I see my picture on one of your fingers.
This is our new favorite thing.
Can I tell you this?
That's the only time I'm ever going to have cleavage right there.
What do you have on your hand?
Nice.
These are finger puppets that we talked about, I think, 2 weeks ago as my favorite product. Well, Our friend Rich Carollo from Lion Circle, which is ASI 67620, made these finger puppets of the five of us as superheroes. So Joe is Batman with more muscles than he will ever
see. Oh, no, that is the most accurate of all those.
Kathy is Catwoman, Melinda is Supergirl, Andy is Superman, and I am Wonder Woman, which is perfect because I love Wonder Woman.
Those are fantastic.
I love that, and I have that exact outfit at home. So you guys should just
if anyone...
How come you didn't wear it today?
I'm sure only Mark has seen it.
I have my bracelets at home. If anyone would like a set of these, email me at mbell@asicentral.com, and we'll send you a set.
Oh, my God. Awesome. What are they going to do with those?
A special set of us as superheroes.
They're going to play radio show.
Wow.
Who we got on the show today? Well, I don't know.
All right. Well, we have some call-in segment today. The subject line for our call today is effective ways to handle over-the-top client requests. So if you have clients who are too demanding or asking you to go above and beyond, and maybe you're not comfortable doing so, give us a call. We can help you out with that. Also, if you have any tips on ways to handle super demanding clients, give us a call, 215-953-4979. And if we put you on the show today, Joe, what are we going to give you?
A $25 Visa gift card and a set of the finger puppets.
Wow. Finger puppets and a gift card. Wow. I don't know which is more valuable.
Oh, the
finger puppets, absolutely.
They're going to be big on eBay someday.
They will be.
Okay, great. So we are going to take Joe, why don't you first tell us?
What else was, okay.
We know you're a little out of practice, Joe. Lead us off.
All right, here we go, Andy. In just a few minutes, we'll have Kim Newell from Worldwide. She has our product safety minute this week. Why mistakes are typically not the client's fault? Kathy's going to look at that. And Michelle has tips from the world's happiest workplace. You know, what are the secrets from the hottest markets in America? Andy will let us know that. I have a look at how to generate advocates for your company. We have our favorite products. But let's start this whole thing off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
All right. We begin this morning with product news. We've all heard about the plastic bag bans. Well, now we're moving on to plastic bottles. Concord, Massachusetts became the first city in the U.S. to ban the sale of single-use plastic water bottles of 1 liter or less. Check out Promogram today for more details. On to product sourcing news. A strike at 14 East and Gulf Coast ports is becoming likely after talks between the International Longshoremen's Association and the U.S. Maritime Alliance broke off last week. The ILA contract expires on September 30th. Sad news to report now, George Towns, the second-generation owner of supplier firm Shapenko, passed away over the weekend. He was 97 years old. International news now, top 40 distributor Inner Workings has acquired UK-based Merchandise Mania. Inner Workings expects the deal to expand its European exposure and will add about $10 million to its global sales. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
Well, Andy, as we inch closer to the holidays, I thought it was important to start showing some greeting cards. The holidays, yeah, we're inching.
I know
closer.
You're supposed to sell that, sakes. But please don't scare me that we're inching closer
we
to the
holidays.
We are
inching closer, so we have some seated holiday cards.
I don't want to hear about it. That's all I have to
plug
say.
Your ears. Go.
I mean, she wants to hear about the seated holiday cards, but just not about the holidays.
Order them now. Don't wait to the last minute. That's it.
Okay, good. All right, in a few minutes, we're going to start taking your calls, 215-953-4979, to talk about effective ways to handle over-the-top client requests. But first, we have a very special guest on the line, Kim Newell, president of Worldwide and a member of ASI's Product Safety and Legislation Advisory Board, is on the line, and she is going to give us our Product Safety Minute. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Melinda. How are you guys this morning?
We're good. Kim. We're great. How are you?
Good, good.
Well, I know today you're going to give us a little tidbit letting us know how can a distributor truly know the products they are ordering from suppliers are compliant?
Well, Melinda, to answer your question, partnerships with suppliers are key. You have to ask questions, and these questions have to become a part of your normal process for placing orders. My suggestion would be to require testing submitted to you for the product you order on each and every order that you submit to a supplier, and the testing received must be no more than 1 year old. Mm-hmm. Also, within this core group of suppliers you work with, I would ask that all sign a social compliance statement, as well as provide you with a copy of their own social compliance and safety program that they use internally. Secondly, educating yourself on safety guidelines in all areas is so important. By being educated, you can ensure that the information you receive is correct and the product you're supplying is compliant. Become knowledgeable on how to read test reports and what to look for. Also, the distributor should know the questions to ask their customer before placing an order with the supplier. For example, who is the intended audience that will receive the product, and will the artwork be appealing to a child? ask questions, educate yourself through the many avenues available within our industry, and you'll put yourself in the best position to ensure that you're providing compliant products for your customer.
Okay, those are very great tips. Thank you so much, Kim.
Thank you.
All right, that was Kim Newell from Worldwide with some great product safety tips. Have a great day, Kim. Thanks a lot. If you want to educate yourself more on product safety, we have a couple great courses in ASI's Online Learning Center. Just go to asicentral.com/online learning, and there's both beginning and intermediate courses where you can really dig into this issue. So thanks to Kim Newell for that. We are going to take some calls now. Today's question is effective ways to handle over-the-top client requests. And we have Heidi on line 5. Good morning, Heidi.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Awesome. So what I deal with a lot, I think I've said before when I've called, I work with a lot of schools. And with them, you know, they can never make up their mind. Everything looks amazing. They want pricing for like a dozen different items. I don't have time to just spend, you know, the whole day working just on one client. So what I do is I take about 5 of those items, you know, that are maybe good sellers or just my go-to items, and give them information for those. But, of course, I'm worried that I might be losing potential business on the other items that they want info on. So what can I do to meet their demands but, you know, of course, watch my time management?
I was going to say, what if you present the first 5 items, but then, like, throughout the year you bring in more ideas for them on the items that they requested and also additional items that you might have in mind for various programs for them? Mm-hmm. Then you'd be, like, spreading out over the year the business and the ideas, and you wouldn't have to do so much work on the front end.
I would help them focus on what they want the products for, so you can help, you know, better find a product that's going to fit their needs, whether it's the prom, whether it's homecoming, whether it's PTA meeting, whether it's the, you know, monthly awards ceremony. You know, help them focus on that, so then you're not just sending them 5 or 6 different things, you know, that they're going to say, well, I don't like this or that. You know, help them focus what they need at that time.
Right.
I like those. I like those tips for sure. It seems like even though throughout the year, you know, whenever I come out with new flyers with seasonal items or something, they will even like another dozen of those. So I never even have the opportunity to say, well, what about those from the beginning of the year?
I don't know. Maybe just narrow down the items in the flyer that you're sending to them too. Or, you know, send them e-newsletters with a couple of items per month or per quarter.
Excellent tips.
All right, well, good luck, Heidi. Thank you so much for calling in today. And stay on the line.
Thank you so much.
Sure. And finger puppets.
And my finger puppets.
Oh, that's the most exciting thing for sure. All right, good luck. Thank you.
Thanks.
We've got some Facebook comments on this topic. Judy Brown says, "While I feel I still do everything possible to help my customers, it's become a lot easier to just say no to some customers and their unrealistic expectations." Andy Cohn, I'm going to pick on you. When should you just say no when customers are being what some might say a PIA?
PITA?
PETA.
It depends if you want to, you know, have the in there.
To me, go ahead.
I was just going to say it kind of depends on who that client is. If it's your biggest client and, you know, they represent a good portion of your business, then you almost kind of have no choice. And I wouldn't say that you can say goodbye to them, you know, on the drop of a hat. So you might have to meet some of their demands. I think the key is to kind of analyze your customer base and see which are your best customers and which are maybe your not so great customers. It's those at the bottom end that you have to kind of cut out. I wouldn't say cut them out of your business. I would just say make sure you're not spending too much time on them. So I think that a lot of distributors get in their own way a little bit, spending too much time on customers that don't account for much of their revenue or profits.
Right.
That's really the key, I think, is kind of analyzing your business and your customer base to know who your best customers are and where you should spend your most time. And, you know, yes, they might have crazy demands, but if they're representing, 20% of your revenues, then maybe you have no choice and maybe you want to actually meet with them even more. But it's that customer that represents 1% of your revenues or even less that, you know, they're the ones making crazy demands. Either you need to kiss those customers goodbye or you need to say, look, you know, I'm.
That was me kissing.
That was you kissing?
Uh-huh.
I feel sorry for Steve. those are the customers that you need to say, look, I can't spend that much time with you unless you're going to spend more money with me. Wow. Yeah. And now we've got music going off here in the studio.
I agree, Andy. And I think some people make the mistake, too, which I would caution against, is thinking that your biggest company customers are your most profitable.
Yes.
Because sometimes you may get better margins on smaller or mid-sized customers. So, you know, I would look at the profit margin you're making from each when you're trying to decide who you're getting most of your revenue.
And I would say, too, even if they are, like, your best, biggest customer or whatever, if they're giving you really crazy demands, I mean, just have an honest conversation with them and say, look, I don't have time for, you know, this, blah, 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 but I'll do this, this, and this, whatever. I mean,
it's very celebratory here in the studio as somebody's phone is going off. You know, I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. But I would also say that, you know, maybe some of those demands are extra business you could actually capitalize on. They might, like, they might be completely crazy. And yes, if they're saying, go get my dry cleaning, then, you know, that's that's not a service you're going to provide. But if there is an outlet to maybe another service that you can provide, that's something that distributors are looking to do. Not just, you know, promotional products campaigns, but other things that they could get involved in. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe some of those demands lead to some of those other avenues as well.
Okay, this is really, really important. Uh-oh. Chris Pescher just sent an email. He's a distributor. He wants finger puppets.
Yeah. Oh, he wants.
Well, then he better call. We're not just going to
well,
give it
he
to
said
him.
He's
who doesn't
to
want
AS-
finger puppets?
He said he's listening to ASI Radio this morning and would love a set of the finger puppets because the theme for their end user show this year is be a promo superhero.
Oh.
Unmask the possibilities.
Well, first he has to call us and sing a little song.
No, I think it's good. I think it's good that he sent the thing.
It's all right. We've got a phone that's singing.
Give
plenty
us a call,
of
Chris. 215-953-4979.
No, it's fine. We have this
and make a plea for your finger puppet.
He's with right. Webb Mason.
Tell us why you deserve finger puppets.
I think he deserves finger puppets.
I know. If
tell
he call,
us what you're going to do
I
with
have an idea.
Puppets.
If he tells us what superhero he would be on a finger puppet, we'll give him the finger puppets. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds
fair.
Good.
That's fair.
All right. Give us a call. In the meantime, Maddox is online, too. Good morning, Maddox.
It's Maddox. How are you?
Oh, sorry, Maddox.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. So my question is, I'm a supplier, and I've had a distributor client that's asked me to absorb the cost of redoing an order when the mistake was completely their fault, not mine. So, you, what do I say to that?
But your supplier.
You absorb the cost.
Okay.
Really?
Really?
Even if it's not their fault?
Who do you say, supplier?
No,
or?
He's a supplier.
Oh,
a
supplier.
He's
okay.
A distributor.
Okay,
that
it's not
their
the client.
Fault.
Okay.
No.
Don't absorb the cost.
Michelle, what do you think?
You know, I have to say, I was in a supplier meeting at the SAC show where they had a group of suppliers. And this is a big problem, which I never realized. A lot of the suppliers said they get calls from distributors saying that there's a problem with the order that was not the fault of the supplier, that was either the client made the mistake and didn't catch it until they got the product in their hand, or the distributor made the mistake. They then call the supplier and say, hey, can you please fix this or, you know, work with us on a price, when it wasn't the supplier's fault at all.
What was the consensus? What do they do?
Unfortunately, you know, actually most of them said it depends on how good of a client the
distributor
is.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. That's what I was going to say to our caller here, Maddox. You have to, like the previous caller.
It's not really fair, though.
Mm-mm. It's not really fair,
it's
you have to look
you
at your business. Yeah, you got to look at your business critically. And if this is a distributor that does a tremendous amount of business with you, then I think you do kind of have to work with them. Basically, you're trying to work together to appease a client that is probably making crazy demands, but you're trying to work with your distributor partner to do that.
Yes.
So I you know, yes, it like Michelle said, it totally depends on who the distributor is and how much they spend with you. If they're a new company that you haven't done much business with, then no, I don't think you need to work with them. But you know, you need to make sure that you're appeasing or you're working with the companies that do the most business with you.
All right, Maddox, well, I hope that gives you some help. Thanks very much for calling, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. Oh.
Mm.
All right.
Up on
line 5 we have Glenn. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Michelle?
Hi, Glenn Colton. How are you?
Oh.
Yeah, the hand puppets were just ace.
They're what?
Ace. Wonderful.
Oh,
fantastic.
Fabulous.
Okay,
Glenn, what's your comment?
I wanted to tell you guys an anecdote. It actually happened. I had what I'm going to call was at the time my very best customer. He was a great guy to work with, and he called me out of the blue, panic. We just needed like 1,000 sport bottles with hooks so you could clip them to your belt. And I said, okay, I got you. When do you need them by? He said, well, technically last Tuesday. And that's a quote. I said, well, what's the deal? He said, I had another company that was making them for me, and they've apparently gone right out of business. Mm-hmm. As in, don't answer their phones, right. Nobody's there, whatever. And I realized, okay, I've got him right where I want him. And I said, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hop in my time machine. I'm going to go back to a month ago. I'm going to get all these things made up for you and have them delivered to you by last Tuesday. And without missing a beat, he said, well, then this conversation's not necessary.
Well, our finger puppets are laughing.
Right. So my advice to other distributors out there is when this kind of thing happens, always consider the time machine alternative.
That's good. And, you know, you should probably also watch the movie Hot Tub Time Machine. You get some really good tips from that. Have you guys seen that movie?
No.
It's ridiculous.
Where's the shark?
All right. Well, thank you so much, Glenn, for calling in and for your insightful remarks. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you.
Bye, sweetie.
We are going to switch gears. And actually, this topic is very relevant for what we were just talking about.
Is it?
Kathy is going to tell us why mistakes are typically not the client's fault.
No, that's right.
Yes. Why is that, Kathy?
Well, 80% of the time, it's not the customer's fault. It's actually yours. Most research, according to this author, Andrew Sobel, shows that people don't tend to complain, and this makes sense, unless you do something really egregious. Like if things are going pretty well or, you know, they might be annoyed by some little things.
So you might be making little mistakes and not even know about it.
That's right. So many times, small business owners aren't even aware that the customer is annoyed mm-hmm. until it's too late. So what you should always be doing, and we always advise this too, is be doing internal and external sort of checkups with your employees and with your customers. We've often talked about customer feedback surveys and just picking up the phone and asking them, how'd that order go? While it's easy to blame the customer for a deteriorating relationship, as this author says, 80% of the time it's not their fault, and the business owner can control whether the relationship is solid and grows by being responsive and proactive, which really makes sense. I mean, you should constantly be asking your customers for feedback, because like we always say too, they're not going to complain really unless there's something really awful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, good tips from Kathy Houston. We're going to take a pause for our moment for a message for today's show sponsor.
Get the state-of-the-art, industry-specific software that's easy to use with flexible options that fit your business. Get ASI SmartBooks. Combine all business processes into one technology platform that is created for you, designed for the advertising specialty industry, and fully integrates with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Use this customized tool to operate your business at maximum efficiency. Call 800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to get the best technology solution.
All right, we're back for ASI's Tuesday morning show, and Michelle.
Yeah.
Michelle's trying to keep it together there, but yeah. She's struggling. Michelle, it's the finger puppets that have brought her over the edge today.
You have some tips from the world's happiest workplace.
Yeah, let me preface this by saying this article says that the world's happiest workplace, through many, many studies, is Iceland overall. That the people in Iceland are so happy, they're that much more productive, and there are a whole list of reasons here, and I'll talk about a couple of them. I want to point something out about Iceland. Iceland also believes in elves. Let's just ponder that for a second.
Okay. That's why they're putting a lot of credence into this. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm happy to post, and I will have Vinny post it on our website on asiradio.com/radio. There's an article on Vanity Fair about Iceland's economy, and in it is a nice long portion where, indeed, they would not let a factory be filled unless the area was tested to see that no elves were living there. Just saying.
They don't like elves?
They're all in the North Pole, so yeah.
They don't want to harm the elves by building the new factory. Oh. Just saying. So here's what Iceland does that perhaps we
I didn't know the show was going to go there today.
Yeah, elves.
Well, geography lesson.
I think Joe was just over there.
Him being elf-like. So here's one thing you want to do at your company that studies have shown will make it more happy, your workers more happy and more motivated.
Bring in some elves.
Bring the elves in. They make toys.
Lucky charms.
You have something to play with.
Number one, create a community. In U.S. businesses, success is frequently seen as a purely individual achievement, often at the expense of others. In Iceland, however, conditions are so challenging that there's no surviving, much less thriving, without the help of those around you. In Iceland, you can achieve success, but only if you're a part of something greater. So basically, they're saying work with others. Team building really makes a difference. Next, encourage broad interests. In the U.S., it's considered unprofessional to have a hobby. I don't know if I agree with that, but
no.
Much less multiple interests.
Well, as long as it's not a weird hobby.
In Iceland, people are proud to publicly display multiple roles and talents that they have. The mayor of the capital, for example, of Reykjavik, is an actor, a comedian, and a rock musician.
Is he an elf?
He's not an elf. You know, you guys, I swear to God, I'm posting the article from Vanity Fair.
He's a gnome.
He's a hobbit.
And we're going to post the rest of these online on asiradio.com about why Iceland is so... gosh darn happy, and why we should emulate
them. I think they're happy because they have all those great hot springs.
That's what I think.
Yes.
And they get to see the Northern Lights all the time.
Yeah, so those are all good things. All right.
If anybody's from Iceland, give us a call.
Switching the gears. Andy is going to tell us about the hottest market in America right now. Andy, we're all ears.
You're all ears.
We are.
Elf ears.
Elf ears, yeah. I have a report here that says the hottest market is companies that are trying to reach Hispanics. So Latin American buyers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And if you have any clients out there that are trying to target the Hispanic market, this study suggests that you think about adding some digital components to any of their marketing and promotional campaigns, because Hispanics, more than any other ethnic group, heavily consume their media through social networks, smartphones, and online videos. So try to incorporate some sort of technological element into any promo campaign that's targeting the Hispanic market. Some other facts, Hispanics are the largest growing minority group with 50 plus million people in the U.S. Women are the primary decision makers when purchasing products. So if you're targeting that, if you have clients that are targeting the Hispanic market, think digital and think of ways to target women.
All right. Find out more about that on asicentral.com/radio. Joe, everybody wants fans.
Yes.
Every company wants fans.
Yes.
How do you generate more advocates for your company?
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, they say that companies like Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook never used any advertising to get people to start using their services. All word of mouth advocates, people who are big fans about them. And the difference between a fan and an advocate, a fan might like a page and might like a company on Facebook, but advocates will actually spread the word about that because they like that company so much. And they say the reason is trust. So if you have a trusted, you know, person in this room that, you know, Kathy, you know, she's advocating for some type of handbag or whatever, you might go buy that handbag because you're taking her word for it. And social media, though, does amplify this. People are going on Facebook and telling, you know, this is a great company, this is a great product. So what you have to do to generate some advocates, there's five things I'm going to give you, three of them. First, provide an insanely great product. If your product doesn't cut it, no one's going to advocate on your behalf. No one's going to tell other people to buy it or to use it. The other thing, deliver memorable service, okay? You really got to go out there and provide great customer service to your client. Zappos, everyone know what Zappos is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You buy the shoes online. Well, there's a story that a woman bought a pair of shoes for her mother, and she passed away right after the shoes arrived. So she called customer service, says, can I send these shoes back? And they said, no problem. Not only was she able to send them back, but Zappos sent her flowers and a condolence card. Now that's some great coverage or service. Yeah. Now you think they have an advocate in that woman?
Yep,
okay,
nice.
So you got to do that. And the third thing I'll tell you is do the right thing even when it costs you money. We were talking about that earlier today. Who's going to eat that cost? You know, sometimes, you know, if you want those advocates, you got to say, you know, whoever is at fault doesn't make a difference. We're going to make this right. So those three things you want to do.
That is so true, yeah.
We will post this whole article online. You'll see all five ways to get an advocate.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe Haley. We have just enough time for Michelle's favorite segment, which is our editors are going to talk about their favorite products of the week. I think we'd all agree the finger puppets top the list.
Yeah.
Michelle, what else do you have this week?
I have, you know that God, well, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure a lot of people like the song. I don't like Toby Keith, but he's got that song, Red Solo Cup.
Uh-huh.
So
I hate that song.
Okay, well, it's really popular apparently.
I know.
IMC has a ceramic version of the Red Solo Cup.
Ooh.
Which is reusable, obviously, and looks exactly weirdly like a Red Solo
cool.
cup. Yeah, so it's from IMC, ASI 62820, IMC-miracles.com.
All right, Joe Haley, what's your favorite product of the week?
I have BPA free water bottle. It's squeezable. The main feature in this is it's got a carbon filter here. It's good for 200 refills. So you can fill it up anywhere, you know, public park, at a watering fountain, you know, fountain, a sink, a kitchen sink, bathroom sink, and you'll have clean filtered water. It's from Adenart, and that's ASI 31518, and you can find them at www.adenart.com. adnart. That's adnart.com.
Andy Cohn, what do you have?
All right, mine is a pen. It's in honor of the writing instruments issue that I said earlier is the October issue of Counselor. It's a ballpoint pen that actually features a magnetic top so it can hang from a desktop or anywhere where you can grab it at any time when you need it. It's available from Magnetel, which is ASI 68480.
Kathy?
Mine is a pen, too, because I wanted to honor Andy's writing instrument.
I appreciate
issue.
That.
Anyway, it's from Ritter Pen, ASI 82528, and it's called the Data Booster because not only is it a pen that writes up to 3.78 miles, but it also has a flip-out USB drive. So,
cool.
Yeah, that's, you know,
multi-function.
One, two, punch. Exactly.
Love it.
That's awesome. All right, you can check out all these products on asicentral.com/radio. We are out of time today. Thanks to today's show sponsor, ASI Computers. And guess what? You don't have to wait till next week to check out our show again. We're going to have a special bonus virtual trade show radio show tomorrow morning at 10:30 Eastern time. Check us out. We'll be mingling with people on the virtual trade show floor and have all kinds of fun topics.